This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9:04. You're listening to Sports Saturday right here on WSMI FM 106. Sports Saturday brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. And by the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Here's the guys, it's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, and Terry Tote.
All right, Tobinot, thank you very much. And yes, T-Tote is back.
One comment I had this morning, and by the way, thanks for all the nice things that you guys have done and said and you know, all the lies you've told while I was away. One thing I noticed this morning, Uncle Ralph, that here we are in the Final Four weekend, and things are a little bit different in Butler today because Butler's not in the NCAA Final Four. A little bit quieter Butler today.
Yeah, they didn't make it. The banners didn't go up this year.
Yeah, so it was an exciting time, though, when it was.
Yeah, you know.
I did notice. I think there was a yard sale going on, though.
Yeah, there's a yard sale going on.
Community. It's almost the same thing.
Yeah, it's almost.
Don Walker's wife's having that today. So, so Squawker is involved.
What? One thing for sure. Someone in Redbud, Illinois, is really, 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 really happy this morning.
Yep, they won the big lotto drawing last night. Mm-hmm. I hate them. I don't even know them, but I hate them because I didn't win.
$212 million?
As 50% of that will go to the government.
No. I think that's after taxes. The jackpot was $640.
Oh.
Yeah, but they had 12 second-place winners. One of them was in Grant City. They each get $1 million each of the prize, and
that's
so...
That's Albert Pujols money right
that's
there.
Right.
$200-plus million. Dollars. So I guess they'll probably find a way to spend that.
Yeah,
you
I would.
Spend $200 million on
I'd give it a shot.
You know, and while this was going on, I believe I read somewhere that 80% of the big money winners are broke within 10 years.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah.
Well, see,
yeah.
I've always heard a lot of winners, they wind up buying a big house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to pay taxes on said big house, and next thing you know, you're out of money.
The more you have to take care of.
I tell you what, though, what I would do, I'd find every charitable organization, like, you know, got Hillsboro, Litchfield, whatever, and say, hey, what do you need? Boom. Tax write-off at the end of the year.
The Tobinot Foundation.
Yeah, the Tobinot.
T.O. Foundation.
Like the Human Fund in Seinfeld.
That's right. Hey, it's a good foundation, that T.O. Fund. Yeah.
Now that you're sending off for hockey playoff tickets, you're going to need that, Tobin.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've been able to do that.
Or to put that in a little different perspective, guys, like Tim and I, that would put in our corn crop.
There you go.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, so if I won that money, I wouldn't be here today. I already would be on some sort of nice tropical island sipping a drink and getting ready to go play golf.
That quick, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'd be gone.
With a caddy dressed in a bikini.
That's exactly right. I'd be out. You'd never see me again.
You got that right, Bubba. Yeah.
But I didn't win.
So you didn't win.
It's
here
back
we are.
To the grind of everyday life, and here we are on Sports Saturday, the last day of March. My goodness. And you think about how much difference a year can make. A year ago this time, it seemed like it was just raining every day. We couldn't get any baseball or softball games in. And here we are, Terry. We've almost played, seems like a season's worth of games here in March.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the weather is just... It's Illinois. You never can figure this thing out. So
no, and it's not only been weather where they could play the spring sports in. It's been wonderful weather.
Ideal.
Temperature in the 70s and 80s, and you just couldn't ask for more. And as you said, Tim, very few cancellations so far.
And of course,
you can mark it down. The first cancellation will be April 9th, our first scheduled broadcast of the year.
We may have to rework that and try to get a couple in next week, Tim, now that I'm back. And
that's right. It'll be cold and rainy as soon as we're ready to start our broadcast. You just know what's going to happen.
Yes.
Of course, all of our baseball and softball broadcasts will be on AM 1540. Also stream online at WSMIRadio.com. And spring sports always kind of fly under the radar, but don't forget, we got the defending state champs in the area with the Carrollton Hawks. And, of course, always a lot of good quality teams, whether it's baseball or softball. You could maybe make the case that it's the most consistent sport in the WSMI listing an area in terms of year in, year out, having teams advance deep into the postseason.
Yeah, we frequently get multiple teams from the area into sectional tournaments, it seems like. When it comes to baseball, softball, it all boils down to pitching. Do you have the pitching?
Yep.
Track has generally been a strong sport in the area, both boys and girls track. Girls soccer has certainly been on the uptick here in recent years. Gillespie girls are off to a great start. Greenville girls off to a great start. Carlinville, Litchfield, Hillsboro, off to a good start with some good weather. You know, normally this time of year, now you talk about playing ball and, gripping a baseball, gripping a softball, but, you know, the wind is such a factor a lot of times when you start playing soccer this time of year. And you still have wind, but at least it's a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
Instead of this, 40-mile-an-hour wind with a 20-degree wind chill and brutal stuff.
Visiting a little bit last night with Double D, I guess they had a heck of a ball game yesterday between Hillsboro and Southwestern.
1-0 victory for the Toppers. Matt Tomazzoli, good to see Matt back. Yes. Remember, he suffered a knee injury late in the basketball season. I guess he's okay.
Well, I saw him
get shut out yesterday with 12 Ks.
A few weeks ago, I saw him at Rehab Edge when I was over there doing a little work, and I said, Matt, are you done for this? He said, oh, no, I'll be ready to go next week. Yeah.
He wasn't kidding. Performing at a high level, 3-0 on the year now for Tom Mazzoli, so the Toppers got
a good
victory yesterday. Once again.
Yeah.
All left-handed pitchers.
Those lefties, they can do some damage.
That's exactly right. We're going to be catching up with Dave Kane coming up here in about 5 minutes on Sports Saturday. As earlier this week, a historic performance by Eric Dodd of the North Mac Panthers broke two school records, tied two state records, went 5-for-5, 4 bombs, and 13 RBI in one game.
He had a year that day.
That's exactly right. So we're going to catch up with Dave Kane. He had a nice write-up about Mr. Dodd in the Journal this past week, so we'll get Dave Kane's thoughts on that. But think about that, guys.
Yeah.
5-for-5, 4 home runs, and 13 RBI in a single high school game. There's not even really any words to describe that type of effort. That is outstanding stuff from Eric Dodd.
He was on his game.
To say the least. And I love the quote in the paper. In his 6th plate appearance and final plate appearance, he got plunked. And he said, I guess I probably had it coming.
Yeah. I probably deserved
that. That's right.
Take one for the team.
And I believe his sport is baseball.
Yes.
If memory serves me right.
Obviously.
Senior catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, if he's got any sport he's better at, he's pretty good at it.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Very good point.
Everything's about perspective. Absolutely.
So we'll catch up with Dave Kane following our check of radar weather at 9:15. But Terry,
yes.
Let's talk about your shoulder for a moment. You had rotator cuff surgery 8 days ago.
8 days ago.
And
yes.
Here you are.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and Dr. Milne in St. Louis, one of the Cardinals doctors, he just returned from spring training and had an opportunity to hack away on my shoulder, a little rotator cuff problem, and recovery is going very well, and good to get out of the house.
Going stir crazy.
Stir crazy, especially since the weather. If it was snowing and raining and crappy weather, not so much of a problem. But it's been so nice. Just sitting at home just makes it extremely difficult. So it's good to be out of the house. Good to be back to Sports Saturday, and looking forward to being back at work and recovering one arm. The arm's in a sling. I hope to get it out of the sling here in a couple of 3 weeks and maybe be a little more productive.
So be on the DL for opening day. We hope to have you back maybe by the middle of May, possibly the All-Star break. We'll have to wait and see.
As I told the doc, I said, I sit on my butt and talk for a living. So it's not like I'm real physical about this. So
as long as nothing happened to his rear end, he'll be all right.
Well, that's true.
Then we'd have a problem.
Yeah, then we'd have a problem. But thanks so much to my wife, who has just been above and beyond patience and taking care of me. And Brenda's done a wonderful job. She's the best thing that ever happened to me, that's for sure.
By the way, guys, while we're on that subject of the other half, spouses and what have you, I want to take the opportunity this morning to wish my lovely bride happy birthday, because today is her birthday.
Happy birthday.
And good news for you, Uncle Ralph, with your eyes.
Yeah, I went back for a checkup this week with my retina specialist, and he said, well, I won't have to see you for 6 months. So that's
best news you could have heard.
After 7 surgeries and almost a year, this will be a year in June.
Yeah.
That was very good news.
That's excellent.
Very good news.
Excellent news. So, well, let's see. The last few springs we've had, you had ankle problems,
right.
And now this year I've got the shoulder problems. So, we're trying to spread it out.
Like a MASH unit.
I'm leaving the show then. I'm out. I'm done.
Be careful.
Yeah.
I'm out. Walk softly, Tobin.
I'm out.
That's right. You go down to a Blues game, get hit in the head with a puck.
Ooh. Yeah.
That could happen.
Oh, did it?
That's actually happened during warm-ups before they put the.
You got hit with the puck?
Uh-huh. Before the...
That explains a lot, Tobin.
Yes, it does.
Before they put that safety net up above the rink during warm-ups, the puck came over the...
Do you at least get to keep the puck?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, of course, he's got blood and,
That doesn't mean anything.
Human tissue on it.
As he's, putting this pressure on the wound, you get a little kid swoops in and takes the puck and runs out the concourse. Like, wait a minute, what happened here?
Can you imagine getting hit in the head with a puck?
Oh.
Can you imagine before they upgraded headgear and stuff to what they got today, those guys out there playing 15, 20 years ago with no protection?
You watch these old school goalies. The goalies didn't even wear
They didn't even have a mask.
How are you going to be a goaltender with no mask? That's insane. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense to me.
They did it for years.
They did it for years.
Not real bright.
Yeah. Bernie Perron, I believe, was one of the first goalkeepers that, and I wouldn't swear to that, but he is amongst the first, if he wasn't the first, to come in with the mask. And of course, then it was kind of a form-fitting
almost like
horror movie
like
mask.
Right.
Yeah.
They
Bill Shatner mask or whatever it was.
They looked pretty scary.
Scary movie or whatever it was.
It was the Jason mask.
Jason mask. That's right.
Okay.
Big day here on Sports Saturday. The Illini got a new coach. We'll get into that a little bit later on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dave Kane from the Springfield State Journal Register about Eric Dodd's historic day earlier this week. We will do that following these messages.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President and Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:17, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies today. There is a chance for some light rain. Expect highs in the low 70s. Mostly clear for tonight. We'll have lows in the mid-50s. Heading into tomorrow, sunny and warmer. Expect a high Sunday of around 85 degrees. Right now at 9:17, we have a temperature reading of 49 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:18, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, and Terry Tote.
Earlier this week, Eric Dodd had himself a season on one afternoon, 5-for-5, 4 home runs, and 13 RBI. And there was a nice write-up in the State Journal Register earlier this week by our good friend Dave Kane, and he's good enough to give us a few minutes of his time on this Saturday morning. Dave, that is an impressive afternoon, to say the least.
That is for sure. I think the way you phrased it, he had some of the high school players would be happy to have some of those totals in a season, let alone one game. I think Eric, I believe I think he told me that last season he had 13 RBIs total, if I remember right. And he gave credit to his teammates, saying, my buddies had to get on base ahead of me so I'd have a chance, to knock all those runs in. But he said he woke up the next morning and it took him a minute to say, wow, did that really happen? Yeah.
And I like the quote in the paper, Dave, where he says, after getting his last at bat and being plunked, maybe I deserved it. What a great attitude, for the young man.
Yeah, he was kind of joking about it. And I think, supposedly the Greenfield pitchers reacted like, oh, man, I didn't mean to do that.
Sure.
And I'm sure he didn't. But just given the whole situation, Eric had a good attitude about it. Yeah, I probably deserved it, so.
And an attitude like that will serve him very well going forward because he's going to be playing college ball.
Yeah, he's been a very good player. I think he also does play football, but he said baseball has kind of been his number one thing for a long time. Eric said right now he's made a verbal commitment to Benedictine up here in Springfield, which is a four-year school. It used to be, developed into Benedictine. It had been Springfield College in Illinois, which is a two-year school. Now it's a four-year school. I think they're NAIA. So that's right now. That's where he's committed to go. But hey, if he has a couple more games like this, he might have some even bigger schools knocking on the door. I don't know.
I mean, a game like that can really put you on the map. In your article, you touch on it that only two people apparently in the state history have had 13 RBI, and I guess the other one, all the way back in the 60s, isn't technically verified.
Well, yeah, and that's according to the IHSA website. It was a player for Centralia, according to the website, back in 1969. But on that list, it doesn't list, who it was against or anything else. And there's like a little asterisk next to it, a la Roger Maris or something that says something about needing verification. Now, I don't know what sort of verification they need or what kind of, if there's a time limit on when they... when somebody can submit more information. I mean, who knows if for some reason the Centralia guy, if it in fact wasn't 13 RBIs or something, then Eric could maybe have the record all to himself. But even if it's shared with one other guy, it's awfully impressive.
And that's the bad thing about the spring sports. A lot of times there are records that are kept, but a lot of times the more technical aspects of record keeping kind of go by the wayside. It's at the end of the school year, and a lot of times you're just trying to get through the season because of the bad weather and everything else.
Oh, yeah, and baseball and softball, Terrier, it's subjective, in terms of scorekeeping, was that a hit, was that an error, do you get credit for an RBI in certain situations? There's a lot more variables in those sports than there are in basketball. A basket is a basket, a touchdown is a touchdown in football, so... But I think the other record, the four home runs in a game, I think there were 11 other players who, according to the website, who had four home runs in a game. Nobody's had five, obviously. Although I think the first one that it listed, I can't think of his name now, but it was a player from Whitehall North Green back in the 80s, had four home runs in a game, and there have been a number of guys since then.
Well, Dave, you've been around this sports business for a long time. When was the last time we were talking before we went on the air? When was the last time you seen a spring session like this where almost every day, if you had a game, you got it played?
Yeah, it's, boy, if you're an athletic director, in Central Illinois, you must be living right, because, we know so many springs where there, and even, last year it was very rainy, and boy, the athletic directors, having to reschedule and line up umpires again. This has been a remarkable, remarkable stretch of good weather. I know a lot of teams, high school softball and baseball teams, and I can't remember the exact limit on the number of games you're allowed to play, but a lot of times teams will sort of overschedule figuring, you know, we're going to get a few rainouts in here that we won't be able to make up. But I don't know, at this rate, they may have to they may have to drop some of those games toward the end of the season if the weather stays like this.
And another positive with the early season warm weather is the fact that you don't get backed up heading into the postseason tournament with a dozen games in a dozen days and wearing out your pitching staff. And it just works a little bit better for all teams involved when you can go into the postseason tournament not arm-weary.
Right, right. And, you know, I think trying to make up games late in the season, I know, you know, for most schools, conference games sort of take priority. Boy, they, you know, you always want to get your conference games in, and then after that, whatever else you can get in. But, yeah, if you'll come mid to late May. Yeah, if you're not having to squeeze in, like you say, maybe four or five games in a week, it's a lot easier on your pitching staff, that's for sure.
Dave Kane from the State Journal Register joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Dave, small schools around the area in baseball and softball, who were a couple of teams that we should keep an eye out for this year?
Well, you know, and I think you mentioned it earlier, you know, on the baseball side, Carrollton, you know, defending state champs in 1A baseball. You know, there's, you know, they did lose Sammy Coonrod, the older of the two brothers, and when you had a 1-2 pitching punch like him and Joey together last year, that made Carrollton just awfully formidable. And it was kind of like what we were just talking about. As long as you have those guys kind of ready to go on a regular basis, you're kind of hard to beat. But, you know, they did lose Sammy, but Tyler Watson, who is a very good basketball player for him the last couple of years, has come back this year, and he hasn't played baseball in a couple of years, but apparently he has a pretty good arm. And Cody Crowd, who's about 6'4", pretty good pitcher. That's a lot of arms and legs coming at you off the mound. So you know, I think Carrollton, you know, overall, you know, they did lose a few other seniors last year. I don't know if they're quite as formidable, but I think they still have to be, you know, you still have to look out for them. You know, Pawnee up here in Sangamon County, you know, I think they lost a couple games early in the season against some really good competition, but they have a really good 1-2 pitching tandem with Bailey and Dorfler, and that, especially in 1A, if you have two really good pitchers, that makes you pretty tough. There's probably, I'm sure there's a number of other teams I'm maybe not thinking about right offhand, but I know on the softball side, I think the Gillespie girls, they're off to a pretty good start again. You know, Coach, I still want to say Michelle Tucker, not Michelle Smith, but I know they're playing really well. You know, up here, up toward the Springfield area, of course, you know, Williamsville is always very strong in softball. They have a very fine junior pitcher named Haley Long, and, you know, they're always a team to be reckoned with. So, I haven't had a chance to really get out and see a lot of games yet, but you know, Pawnee on the softball side too is off to a very good start, even though they had a very sad situation with Jim Salzider, their coach, passing away. But I don't think they've lost a game yet, so maybe they're even a little extra motivated. I believe Tim Cradiville, our friend from Mount Olive, is you know, serving as sort of interim coach for the rest of the year. So there's a lot of good teams out there, that's for sure.
Well, Dave, we thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. We always enjoy reading you in the Springfield State Journal Register, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Well, hey, thanks a lot. And, Terry, yeah, I'm glad you're I know you're in the rehab mode
yes.
Now, but I'm sure you'll be back full strength very soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good to talk to you, Dave. Take care,
okay,
my friend.
Guys. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Dave, a great read in the State Journal Register. It was in the Friday edition talking about Eric Dodd, but all of his stuff is just pure gold.
Best of the best, I tell you. He is amongst the best ever.
And you can tell. That
got a passion for especially for small school sports, which, you know, a lot of times you don't see from newspapers that are located, and Springfield's not a major metropolis. Let's face it, but there are bigger schools in the city, and you know, when you get the opportunity to still get some coverage with the small schools, that's really terrific. So
and Dave's a guy, just to listen to him or talking to him on the radio, you can tell that he is sincere, he's genuine, and he loves what he does.
Yes, he does.
That makes a good combination.
Yep, and we love every time we get a chance to get him on the WSMI airwaves.
He's a great guy.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll be back right after this.
Farmer-owned Prairie Farms, a name that belongs on your shopping list. With fresh strawberries in your favorite market, Prairie Farms dairy products have become even more important. Prairie Farms half-and-half for cereal topped with red ripe strawberries. Prairie Farms whipped cream for shortcake. And for a delicious low-calorie treat to dip your strawberries in, delicious Prairie Farms yogurt. And to energize for outdoor activities, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Get to Sears in the Litchfield Shopping Plaza for Lawn and Garden Demo Days this Friday and Saturday. Test drive the latest equipment, including the Craftsman Turntide tractors. Plus, save 20% on Craftsman-powered lawn and garden items. There are savings throughout your Sears store. And remember, if you find a lower price, Sears will match it, plus pay 10% of the difference. Lawn and Garden Demo Days, only at your Sears in the Litchfield Shopping Plaza. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offers valid through March 31st. Fan Litchfield Hometown Sears on Facebook for special Facebook Friday offers.
And let's head back to more Sports Saturday. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Moved very quickly. You know, we played in the tournament through Friday. We got back in Athens on Saturday. Had a chance to decompress a little bit. Sunday was reached. Monday interviewed. You know, Tuesday/Wednesday negotiations. Wednesday offered. Wednesday took.
That's new Illini head basketball coach John Gross talking at his introductory press conference earlier this week, talking about how fast it moved from their Sweet 16 exodus to his hiring at the University of Illinois just a few short days.
Of course, Shaka Smart was the guy who a lot of Illini fans were thinking was going to be the guy, and he came out and said, "Nope, I'm happy at VCU."
Happy there, and Brad Stevens happy.
Yeah, Brad Stevens happy
at Butler. So in steps John Gross to take the helm for the Fighting Illini, coming off 4 years at Ohio. He's got Big Ten ties, was assistant at Ohio State for 4 years under Thad Matta. So he's familiar with the conference, familiar kind of with Illinois in a whole, because he's really recruited some fine players out of the Chicago area when he was at Ohio State as an assistant. And then his point guard this year, of course, DJ Cooper, who was the point guard of the team that beat Nokomis in the state title game back in 08.
Yeah, and you know, the great thing about having ties to the Chicago area is the fact that I think you could put the Chicago Public League teams against anybody in the world as far as the high school age, and they will compete with anybody. That is terrific basketball, and that is great basketball for Big Ten conference play. Seemed like the Illini got bogged down so much in the half court game last year. The lack of aggressiveness at time just frustrated the heck. Not only I think the fans, but I think the players themselves are very frustrated.
Yeah, the Illini are going to play an exciting brand of basketball under John Gross. We'll get back into that a little bit later here in the hour. Right now, we're going to switch gears. Greg Neisler joining us on the phone right now.
Hey, Greg. Good morning, and thanks for calling us back here on Sports Saturday. And I think you've got kind of a special day planned next week for the Lincolnwood softball program.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling me, Terry. Thanks for having us on today. We're getting pretty excited about it. We're going to have an alumni game for all past Lincolnwood Lancer softball players. And it started in 1990 with softball. And I think there's going to be a nice turnout. We've heard a lot of positive things happen and a lot of talk. So we're looking forward to it.
It's hard to believe that it started in 1990, and that seemed like so long ago, but time has flown for this softball program. And, of course, I guess when you look back, that a lot of the schools were getting into girls' sports, especially spring sports, about that time. So you've been able to contact, probably keep in touch with a lot of the former players. A lot of them still live in the area, and then the parents live in the area. So you're probably hoping for a pretty good turnout just to come to the park and enjoy themselves as former Lancers.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. We hope that a lot of people that have been fans in the past will come and watch. The game starts at 10 o'clock, the varsity game. We play Carlinville that day, and then immediately after the varsity game, we're going to have a new softball Hall of Famer, Terry Toad, I think, maybe come and announce announce the players. So we're hoping to have you know, a lot of girls come back. A lot of people have called and shown interest that said not a lot, but a few that said they couldn't make it, but several. And so, but I think we're still going to have a lot of girls come, and not girls anymore. Some of them back in 1990 are getting up there. One gal told me the other day, they said, well, you realize that you've got a bunch of 33-year-old girls that are getting pretty excited about this game. So I think that was about the 96, 97 teams that were getting pretty pumped up, but they were having to hunt for gloves. They can't find a ball glove anymore.
Well, I hope they don't have to. I hope they don't have to go out and buy one, because they'll get sticker shock.
Well, hopefully some of them still live in the district and have daughters coming up. They can pass it on to them. So that's kind of the area where we're hoping to get to now.
And I, you know, in that particular area, I can remember umpiring, you know, innumerable summer league games and softball games, and so most all these young ladies that have come through that program, I probably have umpired a few of their ball games, so it'll be good to see some of these folks.
Yeah, I think the competitiveness is still there in some of them. I heard one of them say that, hey, we're going to have to invest in some eye black and really come. They didn't know what they were going to wear, you know, I said, whatever you stay safe in and don't get hurt in, I'm fine with it. So,
I can name about a dozen right off the bat. I can guarantee you they'll bring spikes.
I'm sure you can. I can probably rename all of them. It's going to be fun. We're going to have the coaches back. I think all four or all three of the former coaches are going to be able to be there. And
great.
I think several assistant coaches that have helped out along the line are going to be there. I know a lot of people are looking forward to having the original coach, Richard Watson, back. And of course, Tom Irwin and Jeff Smith did a quality job in their years there. And it's just going to be a fun day, I hope. Hope the weather turns out. If it doesn't, we are going to, could help us out and make sure people in the area know, we are going to have it in the gym at about 11 o'clock and start rolling in and have some kind of recognition and have it, the gym as a bystand or standby place if it's raining. If it's not raining then, but the game's canceled early, I would still like people to come out, because we're going to have a lot of food there in the concession stand. The ladies are going to be making chicken fajitas and barbecue besides all of our normal.
Well, Tim my ears just perked up.
You had me a fajita.
Everybody's welcome. So, and it's bargain prices too. So we're going to have cake reception then for people there. So we're just looking forward to just a lot of good reminiscing and still promoting softball in the future. Just had Dave Kane on, and he's another softball media Hall of Famer like Terry is now, and it gets me excited when we don't have a game today. This is about the next best thing, talking to people around softball.
And this is probably one of the few Saturdays you don't have a game from here on.
It really is. This year I didn't think we were going to have as many. We kind of backed off of some tournaments because of distance-wise, and then our numbers are down a little bit this year, and we didn't know how it was going to work this year. Now all of a sudden we've got a rescheduled game, and so the next three Saturdays in a row we'll be playing. So, that makes Saturdays a lot of fun, especially when it's nice weather like this.
Greg, on the small school level, and we're talking the Class 1A schools now, which is what Lincolnwood competes in, of course, Pawnee is a very good team, has been a good team year in and year out, so they're probably one of the teams to beat in the conference. And is there another team or two that you have to watch out for in the Prairies or in the MSM?
Well, and yes, there are. Of course, right now, Tri-City has kind of taken control. They beat Calvary, and Calvary and Tri-City have been going at it. They've got loaded with seniors, both teams, and Tri-City won, I think, 12-0 earlier last week, and then they were in a rain delay and were up maybe 6-0, I want to say, after two. And Tri-City's making a making a stand, and Calvary's always good. And of course, Pawnee, I got to go over. We just hit last night. We didn't have a game last night, and I got to sneak over and watch Pawnee and Nokomis play, and I'm real happy for Pawnee sticking with it. I got to talk with Jim Salzider's wife again, and she's just such a strong woman, and really our hearts go out to them because, you know, it's just a blow to the, you know, it just wasn't the same watching Pawnee softball without Jim out there. But the girls were, you know, they're just playing together. You know, they're just playing together, you can tell.
Jim was such a, gosh, an outgoing and bubbly guy, and, you know, in what few occasions I was at Pawnee to broadcast, you know, anything you needed, whatever, you know, just that kind of a guy, and boy, he will definitely be missed.
Well, and that's so true. You know, it was the type of personality where he made everyone around him feel good, and yet he also was very competitive, but he had such a personality and a demeanor to carry that competitiveness that wasn't, you know, that wasn't offensive or mm-hmm. abrasive, and it was just quite a combination of you know, being that jovial guy along with a competitive nature.
And certainly that kind of attitude towards things is a gift. It's a God-given gift to be able to do that and be professional along with it.
Well, and that's it. And boy, anytime anybody shares that with other people and shares their gifts, that's kind of, you know, the older I get, the more you realize that, hey, I love to win. I tell the girls all the time, I love to win, but gosh, there's so many things to share with other people, make our world better, and I hope they're getting that message.
Well, Greg, we hope for great weather next week, and we hope for a great turnout, and I'm looking forward to it. I know you're looking forward to it, and we hope to make this a big part of the 50-year celebration overall of Lincolnwood High School and the celebration of Lincolnwood girls softball. So we look forward to seeing you next week, my friend.
Well, we're looking forward to having a lot of fun. Keep the weather like it is, and we'll see you next Saturday.
Okay, thanks. Greg Neisler, the coach at Lincolnwood High School, the softball team, as they have their reunion day set for next Saturday. They'll play Carlinville at 10, and then they'll have the get-together afterwards, unless the weather does its thing, and then they'll start things in the gymnasium at 11. So, kind of interesting.
That's right. You'll be emceeing
yes,
the event.
Yes, yes, yes. BMC.
One arm and all.
One arm and all. That's right. Yep. As long as they set the microphone stand up, that's all. That's all matters to me. I can handle the rest of it, I think.
Terrence, as you look back at the history of Lincolnwood softball, they've really had some good teams probably the last 5-6 years. Would one of those teams qualify as the best team Lincolnwood's had, or would you have to go back a little bit further, you think?
To borrow a line from Tony La Russa, tied for first.
Tied for first.
Yeah, you know, you hate to, because games progress, and we've talked about it many times on this sports program about girls athletics in particular progressing along, and softball has been one of those sports. You hate to take things out of perspective and say this team, it would dominate this team, but you know, most recently in 2009, the year the boys won the state tournament in baseball, you got to remember that softball team won 30 games.
They got completely overshadowed.
That team won 30 games. 30 games. How in the world did they ever get 30 games in a season?
Right, right.
But they won 30 games and lost in the sectional tournament. That was one of the more outstanding softball teams. You know, they had great pitching. Taylor Wernstein kind of anchored everything, but great defense. You know, of course, they're easiest probably to remember because they were the most recent team. But they've had their fair share of successful programs, and you know, you have to go all the way back to Richard Watson, and Watson, he had his own style. You know, I think Richard, a lot of times anymore, it's a lot of small ball, you know, bunting and moving runners along, and when Richard was playing, it was more like, well, let's just pound the ball, let's just hit it as hard as we can and run as fast as we can go, you know, and it was kind of fun to watch. So it'll be a good get-together, and I think a lot of folks will have a lot of fun. So and they've had some terrific, terrific athletes over the years that have passed through, as many of the schools around here have. And, you know, we all like to look back and reminisce about some of the good times. But And Greg touched on it. You know, the whole thing of sports, yes, we all we like to be part of winners. We're Americans. We like to win. We like to be successful. But it goes beyond winning. It goes beyond being on top. There are life lessons involved in everything. We speak often about how it's just a different classroom. It really, really is. And it's interesting to see some of these players, and I've been doing this for almost 33, 34 years here at the radio station. It's great to see people, student-athletes from the past who are now adults, and see how, you know, you can see how the athletic programs have helped mold them. They're great people. They're, you know, pillars of the community now. And so it's been a wonderful gig, as you well know. And Ralph as well. So we have a good time doing this, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Should be a fun time.
So it'll be next Saturday.
Next Saturday, and then just very quickly, the baseball team is having a special day on I think the 24th, and we'll probably need to talk with Coach Stone about this a little bit more. But they're going to be playing Morrisonville on the 24th
of April
at Steering Field in Raymond, and they're going to be honoring the Ronald McDonald House, which former coach Paproth, he and his wife had twins, and they made use of the Ronald McDonald House when they had the twins, and so they want to give back, and so they're going to have a nice tribute that day. And if it gets rained out on the 24th, they'll be doing it at Morrisonville on Thursday the 26th. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll get with Coach Stone and talk about that as well. So, you know, it's good to give back.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. And you know, again, it's just a different classroom. There's no chalkboards, no desks.
Well, it's interesting.
First base, second base, third base.
That's right. You've always said that, Terry, that sports is just another extension of a classroom. Coaches are really just teachers.
They're
teachers. Talking about John Gross before we caught up with Greg Neisser, and he actually said that in his press conference earlier this week, that he considers himself a teacher.
Absolutely.
You don't necessarily hear that a lot at the collegiate level, even though it's true. You don't hear a lot of coaches willing to admit that. But he admitted that, hey, I'm a teacher first. I'm trying to mold these young people to be better adults when they leave the campus.
And let's all remember when we were 18 and getting out of high school. Can you remember that far back, Rob?
No.
They had high school back then?
That's kind of shocking. Yeah, but boy, it really got you got tired of carrying that slate board around with you to ride on, you know.
Got heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
But so many young people are making, you know, trying to make their mark in life and trying to get their lives put together and have some sort of a plan. And a lot of times you just need some help, and you need a mentor, and you need an educator, and that's what coaches do.
That's right.
And big tip of the hat, you know, I've always said teachers never get paid enough. Never, ever, ever get paid enough. They just don't.
And, yeah, they need that lottery.
And that's not a judgment on any of the school districts or any of the situation that the school districts are in. I'm just saying that the you know, these are people that we entrust our kids with every day, and so much of our kids' attitudes, desires, motivation are molded by these teachers. And, you know, they have a huge responsibility.
And you participating in sports, whether it's out in the sandlot or in school or wherever, there's certain intangibles about sports. And when I say intangibles, I'm thinking of things that you learn by participating in sports that you don't get in the classroom. And I'm not taking nothing away from the classroom.
Sure.
But there's something about athletics, competition, learning to be a good loser as well as a good winner.
Winning humbly, losing graciously.
That's right.
Yes. You know, life is like baseball. If you hit 300, you're going to be a Hall of Famer because life is not going to treat you well at times, and it just doesn't happen. And that's where athleticism, you know, the participation of athletics in any sort of competition, whether it's band, whether it's public speaking, whatever. You know, these are all great endeavors, all great ways to help young people learn that, hey, life can be a little tough at times. You got to hang in there and just keep pursuing and keep pushing for your dream.
Sports Saturday needs a break. We roll on after this.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your spring finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:48, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. For today, there is a chance for some light rain. We'll have a high in the low 70s. For tonight, clear skies. We'll have a low in the mid 50s. Heading into Sunday, sunny and warmer. Expect a high Sunday in the mid 80s. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. It will be a little cooler. There is a chance for some showers Tuesday and Wednesday. Expect highs in the mid 60s. The lows will be in around the low 50s. At 9:49, we have a temperature reading of 50 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:50, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinot, thank you very much. Cardinal baseball comes up this morning at 11:45 on AM 1540, Cards and Nats. And guys, when we're talking next week,
yeah,
the Birds will have two regular season games under their belt.
How about that, huh?
They open the regular season Wednesday night in Miami, and then day off Thursday, and then Friday they're in Milwaukee. What? A lot of division games. I believe that Miami game is the only non-division game they'll play the whole month.
Yeah.
Why have just one game in Miami?
Foul pole syndrome, Tobin. Major League Baseball.
Just give a series. Let them have a series.
Well, you got to remember Miami and St. Louis share Roger Dean Stadium.
Yeah.
So right there you've got a little bit of a tie-in. I don't necessarily think it's
why not a series? Why not a three-game series?
Like you said, the foul pole syndrome.
The foul pole syndrome, that's
and
exactly.
And when they come to St. Louis, they take on the Cubbies.
Right, home opener with the Cubs. So an interesting first month for the Cardinals, to say the least. You open the, you know, play the first game ever in Miami.
Yeah.
Then you go to Milwaukee for their season opener after you knock them out of the playoffs to win the pennant.
Yeah.
And then your home opener. Then you go to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Of course, we all know what happened there. And then you got your home opener against the Cubbies.
Well, look at it this way. If you want to guarantee a sellout, in Miami, you bring the Cardinals in.
No, it's a good point.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not that
they wouldn't sell it out, but just in case,
yep.
You bring the Cardinals, the defending World Series champions, to town, you've got a packed house.
Have
you
what seen better way to start the season in St. Louis than to have the Cubbies in
That's
town?
That's pretty good. The Cubs cannot take notes on how to handle a World Championship.
How often does that happen, that the Cubs?
Not often.
That the Cubs are our home opener.
Yeah, very rare.
Yeah. But so I was looking at
Actually, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know it.
I don't like the Cubbies being a home opener.
Because, I mean, the home opener stands by itself. It's got enough anticipation without having the Cubs in town.
Those games are going to be sold out. So, you know, the Cubbies are good for the summertime when it's hot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you're going to pack the house and, you know, weekends. It's like having three Cub games in the middle of the week. You don't do that. You should never do that.
I
was looking at video of that new Miami ballpark. My word, that is immaculate. It is.
Yes, yeah, it'll look really nice when they got 3,600 strong in there.
Yeah,
in the middle of the
summer. On a good day.
On a good day.
But getting back to the Cardinals and Cubs, you know, you throw everything out the window when the Cardinals and Cubs play. One team can be in first place and one can be in last place, and they play each other like. Just tooth and nail.
I think the Cardinals, since the Cubs are going to be in town for the ring ceremony, I think the Cardinals should give Carlos Marmol an honorary championship ring for his wildness at the end of last year. Remember that series?
Yes.
He wild pitched him right to that victory.
Yeah.
They should give him an honorary ring.
Yeah.
Why not? Guys, let's switch gears back to the Illini real quick. It was a very frustrating year for Illini basketball. They were terrible down the stretch. I think they finished 2-12. Just they were a tough watch, a hard listen. Just it was really hard to get excited about the Illini. Really, the last couple years, just from the way they play, slow it down, bog down, half court,
lose the ball.
You know, Brian Barnhart, who's a great play-by-play announcer, you could tell in his voice how frustrated he was.
Oh.
Late in the ball game,
obvious.
When things just bogged down and they couldn't even get a shot off before the expiration of
how
the shot clock.
How many Saturdays do we sit here and talk about the Illini? 3 seconds left from the shot clock, 30 feet from the hoop, wind up jacking up a three. I don't think the shot clock's going to be much of an issue with their new man, John Gross. He likes to get up and down the floor, and he says Illini Nation can expect an exciting style of play.
The word I like to use the best is attack. We're like the boxer. And you'll hear me use this analogy that tries to knock someone out in each of the 10 four-minute rounds and then come up for air at the end of the media timeout and swing again. On the defensive end, we play that way. Offensively, we try to play as fast as we possibly can.
I like that.
Yeah.
Come out swinging.
Yeah. And play to win. Don't play not to lose. That's what the Illini were doing. They were playing not to lose.
And he already has an idea of the type of player that he wants in his program.
We're going to try to get the very best players that we possibly can that are Illinois guys. Now, I could stand up here for an hour explaining to you in detail from, you know, just a, they've got to show me that they have a desire to earn a degree. That'd be one. Work ethic, toughness. And then obviously there's things aside from that, those generalities that fit specific positions that we're looking for as well. Because we play fast or faster, as I mentioned earlier, athleticism's important, length's important. I think motor's important. Playing with energy's important, you know, for us and how we play. We like to attack the paint via the pass or the dribble, whether that's with a, you know, great post player or guys that can deck the ball and get into the paint. We utilize the three-point shot on offense. You know, defensively, you know, we like to force turnovers with our athleticism and length. That gives you a chance to get easy baskets at the other end. So those are just some of the bullet points without going on and on and on of things that I think are important characteristics. You know, I love the quote by Bill Cowher from the Steelers. When asked one time who makes the Steelers team, he said Steelers guys make the Steelers team. And so the one thing about us is we have a real plan about who we're recruiting and why. And I always ask the staff, is that an Illinois guy? And they've got to be able to tell me, or in my own observation, why or why not in certain categories or criteria. That's important. So we want to make sure that Illinois guys are on the Illinois team.
There you go. Wow. The words of new head coach John Gross. So they are going to be a different type of basketball team under his leadership.
Kind of the Chicago Simeon of the Big Ten, maybe?
You wonder. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you watched Ohio play in this year's tournament, they were fun to watch. Mm-hmm. They put the pressure on their opponent. They went out and got it. Like he said in that first cut we heard from him, they want to come out in those 10 four-minute rounds and knock you out. And that's something the Illini have not done for a long time. They've been very passive the last few years. That is about to change.
I think the story with him it will be his recruiting. And that obviously the first press conference, you want to say the right thing. It's kind of a like a politician type thing. You don't want to say the wrong thing. But if he recruits the right guys, I think
and everybody sounds good in their introductory press conference. Otherwise, they wouldn't have got hired. But when you listen to him talk, he just sounds like a guy who can inspire his club on a daily basis.
Tim, as you pointed out with the Illini, why do you recruit these type of people and not let them play their kind of game?
Well, you look at their roster this year. You take the rosters they were constituted. You play the style that John Gross wants to play. They're a better basketball team. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. You've got Brandon Paul, superior athlete, Mr. Basketball in Illinois his senior year. You essentially had the best player in Chicago at the time, Brandon Paul.
Yeah.
The best player out of Peoria at the time, DJ Richardson. And the best player in Southern Illinois in Myers Leonard.
Yep.
You put those three pieces on the same team with what they've brought in. They've got the athletes to go up and down the floor and play with you. So it'll be very exciting to finally see these kids, all their talents, come out.
And when you play this style of game, you have to look past the five guys that's out there starting because you got to have 6, 7, and 8 to run in and out because if you're going to play that race hard style for 40 minutes, you got to have some give some guys
but
some
very breathing. Rarely do you have a team that goes to a Final Four that doesn't have 8 or 9 players.
Right. Oh, no, they always do. No,
that's just the key.
Yeah.
And again, they may not be the greatest, but they're going to service you and play your style of game, the style of game that's going to benefit, you know, behoove their talents.
And you look at the teams that are left, up and down they go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Up and down they go. They play fast, yep. They play pressure defense,
yep.
And they get out and go. That's the way college basketball is played now. And if you don't adapt, you're going to be left behind like the Illini were mm-hmm. this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Timbo, we're about out of time here. Who's going to be in the big game?
Well, Kentucky is obviously the best team. I mean, you watch them play. They've clearly got the most talent. They are a juggernaut. They're fun. I mean, they are a fun watch. You watch that team play, it's an exciting time. But I don't know why. I got a gut feeling that Louisville is going to knock them off.
It's the Patino factor.
It is the Patino factor. And the best team in college rarely wins, kind of like at the high school level.
Yeah.
Rarely does the overwhelming favorite go on and win the state title. For whatever reason, I just got this gut feeling that Louisville is going to knock them off. And I like Ohio State in the second game.
Well, I'm going to go way out on a limb, and I'm going to predict that Louisville and Kansas will play for the
game. You got Louisville beating Kentucky as well.
Yeah.
Interesting. Terry?
I think it'll be Louisville and Ohio State.
So we all think Kentucky's going to lose.
Yes.
So that means they're going to win.
Probably. Probably.
And I tell you what.
It wouldn't be the first time we've all been wrong.
No, it wouldn't.
Take nothing away from that
I think I had the Cardinals finishing fourth last year in the National League Central, so right on par.
Take nothing away from Kentucky. I watched them through the tournament. And
but there's also a part of me that says, you know, I really don't want Kentucky to win. So
right.
I have to admit, that has to be part of it. So.
When I looked at those three freshmen out there playing, I think I said to myself, these guys are freshmen.
Scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they got the first two picks in the NBA draft, Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Got the two best players in the nation on one team. So if they don't win, it's an upset. Either way, two great national semifinals coming tonight. We've got Cardinal Baseball up at 11:45 this morning on AM 1540. Thanks to Dave Kane from the State Journal Register and to Greg Neisser, the head Lincolnwood softball coach, for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. This is your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville.